I'm reminded of a Mass many years ago where the priest got up and started his homily after a gospel like this and was talking about a pastor that was very much yelling and screaming about how there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And one man in the back raised his hand and said, "But what if you don't have any teeth?" And he said, "Teeth will be provided." What an odd joke. He's saying, "Father, that's just strange." Well, at least someone thought it was funny. We look at this gospel today and we hear some different things. First, we hear about this wedding feast. Now, at the earlier Masses today and the one yesterday, Deacon Tom was preaching, and he was talking about how he would never give up a good feast to go to work, like some of these people did, to their farms and other things. What? A wedding feast or work? Let me see. Let me figure that out. And the Jewish wedding feasts of that time, that would be not just like, okay, like we have now a few hour reception or something. No, the wedding feasts of those days went on for 7 days. They were extremely beautiful and exciting events. There were things of which the whole town would come out. And here we have this king calling his people. And people are saying, "Yep, I got better things to do. Nope, thank you. I'm going to go back to my farm. I got some really important work on my farm I got to do. Oh, I got another thing. I've got a great business transaction, a business deal that's coming down. Sorry, I can't come to the feast." Now this feast, Jesus says, is likened to a kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. That this banquet is the kingdom of heaven. And we know, and in case you forget, I'll remind you now, we know that what we do here at the Mass, this is the foretaste of heaven. That when in a few minutes we call down the Holy Spirit and then bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ, this is the feast of our God. This is the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is the feast between Almighty God's Son, Jesus, and His church, we who are His bride. This is the feast. The wedding feast of the Lamb. And so often in our culture, in our lives, we say, "I've got better things to do. I've got better things to do than come and celebrate with Almighty God. To come and receive all the gifts and power and fruit that He wants to give me, that He wants to pour into my lives. I have better things to do than to come and worship Almighty God." And Almighty God weeps at that, because He wants nothing more than to share our love, to share His love with us. This is the feast of our God. This is the feast where Almighty God pours out all of His graces into our lives. We have but to open our hands to receive. That in this Mass we are a quarter inch from heaven. If we only could wipe that veil away, we would be able to see into the mysteries of God's heart. This is what we do here. And God says, "Come. Come to the feast." So some reject it. And so God says, "Call all in. Go out into the byways and the highways and call the bad and the good alike." See, it's not that we're some sort of exclusive club. As they say, if you're looking for the perfect church and you find it, don't join it, because then it won't be perfect anymore. Right? That we are looking in this church not at a bunch of people who are already there and perfect, but rather at a bunch of sinners who have come to the hospital to be healed. I know that if we were to have a show of hands of who are the sinners out there, we'd all raise our hands and I would be the first one. I'm not asking you to do that though. We recognize that we are here, called by God, bad and good alike. But then there's this kind of weird thing at the end of the gospel, which has gotten, I've gotten more than a few questions about this, and I've had questions about it myself. Okay, they've called the bad and the good alike. Some of them have just been like grabbed off the highways and said, come to a meal. Okay, sure. And then the king comes in, and he says, my friend, how is it you came in here without a wedding garment? It's like he has nothing to say and he gets kicked out. And I said, I mean, the initial thought that goes through my mind with that is, how unjust is that? Here's this man, he's been pulled in out of the road, you know, he's not been like formally invited, he's dragged in here for this feast and then he's kicked out because he doesn't have a wedding garment? What's with that? But if we think backwards about this, we have to look at it and say, well, that's the same situation with everyone. And they all had wedding garments. Obviously, the wedding garment was provided. And for some reason, he refused to wear it. He refused to put it on. It's not that it wasn't given, or he wasn't given a fair shot to get it. But rather, for some reason, he knew he should have. And he didn't. And he didn't. I think when we're comparing this wedding feast again to the Mass, many are called and invited, but few come. But even the ones we who come to Mass doesn't mean, well, I did my Sunday obligation. I'm getting to heaven. Oh yeah, I can ride easy because I had to sit through Father Vaughn's homilies on these hard pews. Just being here ain't enough to get you to heaven, as much as it might seem like purgatory listening to me. That we need more than simply to show up. We can't see church and Mass as fire insurance. You get it? Fire, yeah. Gonna burn? Yeah, okay. Ouch. I'm just full of bad jokes today. I hope you don't mind. But rather, if we are here to celebrate in the mystery of God's great love for us, we can't just show up. The church in the Second Vatican Council reminded us that in the liturgy we must have full, active, and conscious participation. Full, active, and conscious participation. Means not just showing up and not just, you know, I'm not worthy to enter, I'm under my roof, but only say the word, my soul shall be healed. Not just saying the words, but as much as we can, lifting our minds and hearts to Almighty God in the mystery. We need to allow Almighty God to place that wedding garment on us, to grasp hold of this great mystery, not just show up. So, my sisters and brothers, we enter into the mystery of Almighty God, His love, His life. He pours out His love as He speaks His word to us through the Scriptures. He pours out His very heart as He gives us His body and blood, the sacrament of our marriage with Almighty God, of our union and communion with Him. And He says, I need you to be there. I need you to be there, not just physically. I need you to be there in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. I need you to be present so I can give you everything. For those of you who've been putting yourselves through the rigmarole of actually reading my articles in the bulletin, you'll remember that I have been encouraging you to get a Mass journal. What's a Mass journal? Mass journal is simply this. Whatever group of papers you have where you write, on the top of it, God, what one thing do you want to speak to me in this Mass so that I can become the best version of myself? And then you bring it to Mass, and when God speaks to you that one thing, you write it in. That's one way we can do to keep ourselves open to what God is doing here. We can say, I want to listen to what God has to say to me. I want to be open to what He wants to fill me with. So my sisters and brothers, let us ask Almighty God to pour out His grace upon us. Let us ask Him for that help to be able to be conscious and fully and actively participating in this Mass, so that we may enter into the wedding feast of the Lamb.